Welcome to Foundations for Spiritual Gifts. This is a four-part teaching series in which I'd like to look with you at what the spiritual gifts are all about, why they're important, how they operate, and finishing up with an inventory of the actual gifts themselves. My hope as you hear this tape is that you'll find out how God has gifted you to serve in His kingdom. I'd like to start with a couple of books for recommended reading. If you look at page one of Foundations for a Spiritual Gift, and if you've got the notes in front of you, Kenneth Cain Kinghorn's Gift of the Spirit, and C. Peter Wagner, Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow. These books were both written back in the 70s, but they're the best books that I've seen yet on the spiritual gifts, and so I continue to recommend them. The word the original language of the Bible uses for our English word spiritual gift is the Greek word charis, and in its plural form it's charismata, from which we get the English word charismatic. And I want to ask the question, how is the biblical word charis used? It essentially means grace, and it's used in a number of different ways, and so it's also used for, in Romans 6:23, salvation. And Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That term there, the gift of God, the word gift in the Greek is that word charis. So salvation is really the foundation or the root of all of the things that we experience in the Christian life. And this word charis, which means grace, is founded in our salvation itself. Secondly, it's used to mean blessing or gracious favor. And we find this in the second letter to the Corinthian church in chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul is speaking of deliverance, and he says that God will continue to deliver us. And in verse 11, he says, "As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." His phrase, gracious favor, again, is that Greek word, charis. Gracious favor having its root in the term grace and God's grace. And so this word is given to mean salvation as well as the gracious favor of God. And thirdly, this term, charis, is used to mean what we're looking at in our study here, spiritual gift. And we see that occurring in a number of different places. First of all, in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. We'll look at these verses later in much more detail. We see it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. We see it in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Let's define a spiritual gift. What exactly are we talking about? A spiritual gift may be defined as a special attribute given by God according to God's grace to enable Christians to serve the body of Christ. So the giver is God, and it's according to His grace. It's His decision, it's His will. It is unearned, undeserved by us, and it's given for the purpose of our effectiveness in serving the body of Christ, which is the church. Spiritual gifts should be distinguished from several things, and there are five things here we want to distinguish spiritual gifts from, and you can fill in the blanks as we go. The first one is found in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verse 38. And spiritual gifts here can be distinguished from the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter is preaching to the crowd, and he calls them to repent. And in verse 38, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Spirit goes beyond a spiritual gift in any particular way to be the very Holy Spirit Himself. The gift of the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit Himself dwells within the believer, so that as we repent and turn to Him, we receive the Lord which means we receive the indwelling presence of the Lord's Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And that's what every Christian has in their heart. And so that is the gift of the Spirit, which itself is by God's grace and a gift from God. Spiritual gifts should also be distinguished from natural talents. The word there would be talents. Now, here the line is kind of blurry. God creates all human beings, and all human beings have some kind of ability or talent. But when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're talking about things that are especially given by the Holy Spirit, enabling a person to serve the kingdom. Now, oftentimes we'll find that someone's natural talents and any particularly identifiable spiritual gift may have much in common with each other, but we want to talk in terms of spiritual gifts a step away or different from any kind of natural talent you might have for things. Gifts are a little bit more specific in what they are. They're a little bit more specific in their purpose. Thirdly, we want to distinguish spiritual gifts from fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes here, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, the difference between the fruit and the gifts is essentially that the fruit has more to do with character, becoming like Christ. It has to do with Christian maturity. Gifts really don't have anything to do with our character or our maturity. They are freely given by God to all believers. So whether you're a mature Christian or an immature Christian, the Bible says that you are given spiritual gifts by the grace of God. Whereas the fruit of the Holy Spirit is something that we grow into. It's a sign of maturing of faith as we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Now, hopefully, you'll exercise your spiritual gifts with plenty of fruit in hand. Fourthly, we want to look at the difference between gifts and Christian roles. Christian roles. For example, you can serve in all kinds of ways in a church. You might take on the role of a teacher or of a counselor, a leader of a small group. You could have a role as a discipler. You could be on the worship team. You could be an usher. You could do all sorts of things within the church. But you may or may not be gifted to do the roles that you're taking on. The role is simply the function that one chooses to do, whereas the gift is the ability given by God to do whatever function you pursue. Fifth, spiritual gifts should be distinguished from counterfeit gifts. Now, what on earth is a counterfeit gift? If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul is speaking here of the man of lawlessness, which seems in some ways to be the Antichrist or someone like him. And he says in verse 9, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." The point here is that even though he's probably speaking of a future event, the work of Satan is going on all the time, not just future. It's all around us at the present. And Satan is able to perform counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, things which are listed among the spiritual gifts. You see, Christians aren't the only ones with supernatural power given to them. The question is the power from God or from the evil one? Now, granted, Satan's power is not anywhere near as great as God's, but he has enough to deceive a lot of people. And as we examine the spiritual gifts, we need to remember that gifts are from God, even though they can be counterfeited by Satan, and we need to be aware of that. Then we might ask the question, why should we know about spiritual gifts? Why are they important to study? Well, there's at least four reasons. First of all, to help us minister to others. The word there is to minister. See, the whole New Testament has the pattern that Christians are all ministers, not just the leader, but every believer is called to be part of the ministry of God's kingdom. And as you minister in areas where you are gifted, you'll be much more effective. So the spiritual gifts are to help you be more effective in the ministry that we are all called to perform in whatever particular way that is for each individual. Secondly, we should know about spiritual gifts to benefit the church, that is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says that to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good is to benefit others. Spiritual gifts are given so that we can be of benefit to someone else and so that someone else can be of benefit to us. Third, we should know about our spiritual gifts to benefit our sense of worth as members of the body. The word is there, worth. Do you ever feel like you weren't worth very much? Some people feel that way quite a bit. But you see, if you can make a contribution, and that spiritual gift will enable you to make that contribution effectively, you'll feel better about yourself because you will see that you're actually a valuable part and an important part of the local church and of the body of Christ. Fourth, we should know about spiritual gifts to help us know God's will for our lives. Now, what does a spiritual gift have to do with knowing God's will for my life? Look at Romans 12, verses 1 through 6. Now, in Romans 12, 1 through 6, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. I won't read the whole thing here for you. But he talks about giving our lives over as living sacrifices in verse 1. And in verse 2, he tells us not to conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then he says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then he tells us how to do it. In verse 3, he immediately goes into a discussion on the spiritual gifts and then tells you some of those very gifts. So you see how the gifts are related to knowing God's will. As we exercise our gifts and function in them and flourish in them, we begin to find out that that is what God has created us to do. And as we perform what God has created us to do, naturally we find that that is God's will for our life, because God's will has to do with doing what He made us to do.